So if you remember him, I don't know if he's brought his harmonica with him today or not, but that should be a sign of who it is. He preaches, he's in a couple weeks, he'll be back at Kenneth Copeland Southwest Believers Convention. He speaks for the youth there every year. So he's sought after speaker. He's been preaching all over, and I'm sure he'll be telling us more about that. But like I said, he's family here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome up Joey.
Thank you. Hey, how we doing? Good to be here. Man, we love this church. This is my beautiful wife, Kirsten, right here on the front row. And it's always a blessing that we get to be at the same place at the same time. Summertime is always really busy for us. She is currently teaching her summer school course up in Valencia. And so this is just neat that we all get to be together. Matthew and Tara, my other beautiful in-law. I was talking about Tara. but so thankful for family. Amen. Amen. And amen. God's so good. It's good to be here at the Promise. Why don't we just take just a minute, bow our heads, and let's pray for Pastor Henry and Pastor Jackie. Father, we just lift up our pastors. Lord, we hallelujah, put you in remembrance of your word over their life. We pray strength for Henry, for Miss Jackie, for their spirit, souls, and their bodies. We surround them with love, faith, and peace today. Lord, wherever they're at, may they be refreshed. May they be surrounded in your grace. Father, coming back this next week just fired up and ready to pour out on this wonderful congregation your word and your spirit in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for everyone here today that's under the sound of my voice. Lord, I thank you that you give them ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Lord, illuminate our mind to get the revelation of your word today and everything that you want to say. Holy Spirit, we give you free reign, free will right here and right now, that this next half hour would just be miraculous and glorious, that you would do only what you can do. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my words be heard, but your words be heard. And we exalt you, Jesus, above all else. And we're so grateful for you, Jesus. You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're the author and finisher of our faith. You're everything to us. And we honor you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. You're so good, so merciful, so wonderful, cheering us on. Hallelujah. Right before your return, to go farther, faster. Hallelujah. Right before the finish line. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. If you agree with that, say a good amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. We've got a table back there. You can check all that out. We've got some new t-shirts for the summer. And don't want to take up too much time, but there's a really cool Billy Graham shirt back there honoring 100 years of a man's life dedicated to be used by God for the purpose of winning the lost. And so anyway, check that out. But today I want to... Where's my did I bring my phone up here? Is my phone sitting right there? Oh, here it is. I thought, how do you lose your phone on the way to the pulpit? Amen. It's happened before. I think I was in Compton that time, and that's another story. Yeah, I do have my harmonica, but I just don't know if I'm supposed to play that this morning. Maybe in the middle when you all start to fall asleep, we'll break into something to lift your spirits. They say if you don't keep an audience every 5 minutes, you might as well not even be talking. About 2.5 years ago, my wife and I felt led to start a Bible study in our little neighborhood. And so I fought it for a few months. I may have shared this testimony, but it pertains to what I want to talk about today. And a few months, on a regular basis, I'd wake up in the morning and I'd think, man, what am I doing in Fort Worth, Texas? I've been here at that time over a year, and we were renting a house in a wonderful neighborhood right in the cool part of town. But almost every morning when I wasn't out preaching, when I was home, which is a majority of the time, you know, you go out and preach on a weekend and then come home and, you know, spend a few days and then go out maybe again a few times a month. And when I was home, I wanted to be maybe not out, but I wanted to be useful. Has anyone ever felt like they wanted to be useful? Amen. If you don't, then pray and say, Lord, help me. I want to be useful. Because you should have the desire to be used by God. That's what being a Christian is all about. It's not just getting myself saved and going to heaven and having my own understanding. You know, the church, the modern church world, in the last 100 years, we've gotten really good at getting the things of God to us. But the whole plan is for God to get his things through us. Amen. You get that? It's one thing to have a revelation of God's goodness, God's mercy, God's love, to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to be able to transfer that to somebody else and change their life. Amen. If you don't want to do that, you need to fall in love with Jesus and figure out what it's all about, because that's what life is all about. Amen. Is doing everything that he's leading us to do. And so I kept feeling this leading, like, man, there's this dissatisfaction, a disconnect. How am I living in this neighborhood and no one knows I'm a preacher? I don't know really any of my neighbors other than waving at them in the morning when I'm, you know, taking the trash out or something. And I just had this desire, like, Lord, you do such great things in churches we go to. What could we do here? And for a few months, I had this idea, start a Bible study. You know, and I even had a title for it, and I even messed around on Photoshop with it and got a little logo, and we called it the Barbecue and Bible Study. But every time I'd get motivated to actually print a flyer and tell people about it, I'd chicken out. You ever chickened out on something? Amen. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you'll receive power to be a witness when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And so I started, you know, talking to the Lord about this, and I literally went so far as to print out some flyers. And a couple of times I had every intention of going out, but always something came up. You know, there's always going to be 100 excuses why not to step out in faith. You know, there was only one man that stepped out of the boat out of all the disciples, Peter. You know, there's always going to be reasons not to make a move towards Christ, not to obey the inward witness. We get busy, we get tired, things happen. But when we recognize that the Lord specifically designed us for the time that we're living in, and that there really is a plan and a purpose and a calling, and not only that, all the equipping and anointing to do something that God's calling you to do. You're not here by accident. You're by divine design. That's a prophetic word to you. Amen. So receive it. You have a purpose for living. A reason. And it's more than working a job. It's literally to be a transference of who and what God is and what he can do. You are literally proof that there's a living God. Amen. Some proof is better than others. Amen. Some people are maximizing their potential more, but it's up to me what I do as his proof. Everywhere I'm going, I'm a living, walking testimony that Jesus is alive and real. Now, what I do with that is up to me. Amen. Well, that went over huge. Thank you. Thank you. So we started the Bible study, and it goes about once a month when we're home. And through the process of about a year and a half, you know, you start a Bible study, get people together praying and doing worship, and God will use those things. A lot of times the initial step of faith is not about that step. It's about 10 steps later. But you'll never get to the 10th step if you don't do the first one, right? You know, you don't get to some big platform or some big thing without initially taking the first step. Well, you know, looking back over just the last few months of since we started that Bible study 2 years ago, the Lord literally taught me some things during that time with strangers in my neighborhood. And I'd step out to lead people in worship, and I'm no worship leader if you've heard me, but we would do our best. And then the anointing would come. How many love the presence of God? You know, the anointing is there, and when you sense the anointing, it's there for a reason. Amen. It's so important that we learn what to do when the anointing, the tangible presence of God is there. Amen. And worship is great, but when he manifests himself, there's always a reason for that. And it's simple. It's to remove burdens and to destroy yokes in people's lives. When the anointing's present, it literally will remove a burden and destroy a yoke. And so we started sensing, hey, this isn't just about getting community together and just, you know, sharing salvation with people or getting to know the neighbors. God literally wants to do something here. And so we went along for months, and within a few months, we start getting ideas of other things we were supposed to do. Back there should be a flyer on the table about our generation summits. And that was a vision that the Lord had given me while doing a neighborhood Bible study. You know, it all started with one word from the Holy Spirit. And then 3 months later, finally deciding, okay, I'm going to obey this word. Have you ever been given a word from God and it just took you a little bit longer to obey than just like pouring a glass of milk or something? It was like, oh man. I heard Bill Winston say, a wonderful pastor out of Chicago, he said, there comes a point in every believer's life where you decide you can't be cool anymore and serve God. That's why I wear red pants. It helps my confidence level. But there comes a point in your life where the Holy Spirit will lead you to do something that's going to separate yourself from who people might think you are to who you really are. You really are a born-again child of God. You really hold the kingdom of heaven on the inside of you. You are a creative force living on the inside of you. There's a creative force. Your spirit, you, the real you that's going to heaven, that's made the decision for Christ, the real you has been twain with his spirit, and you have literally miracle-working, eternal power living in you. Amen. I'm getting into a lot of things I didn't plan on, but that's all right. So anyway, all these things happened because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm learning this last year how much I depend on a daily basis of hearing the voice of the Spirit and obeying it. The Bible says in Psalms that the steps of the righteous man are ordered of the Lord. You know, God's got specific steps for us to walk out. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said, hey, I'm going away soon. They didn't believe him. But he said, hey, soon and very soon, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. If you'll wait just a little while, turned out to be about 8 days. If you'll wait, I'm going to send my spirit, and he's not only going to be with you like I am, he's going to live in you and abide with you. He's going to make his abode in you, and it'll literally revolutionize everything about the life of a believer. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, this past, I'd say, year, we've been realizing, man, all of these little bits and pieces. You know, the Christian life is not to be led by a map. We're literally living by a compass. You know, there's a big difference. A map tells you all the trajectory, all the roads, but a compass just literally gives a direction. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. We have the Word of God as our map, and we have the Holy Spirit not only to comfort us, but he's our advocate, our go-between, our standby. He's literally our navigation system. I don't go anywhere without my GPS. I don't even drive in my own neighborhood without my GPS. Amen. Some of you can relate. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes, literally 20 minutes and 31, 30, 29 seconds. I want to give you some reasons, and I'm going to do half of this in this this session, and then if you dare to stick around for the next, I'm going to share the second half of this. But this is reasons why every believer should speak with other tongues. And it's a hot and heavy subject, but it's worth your listening. Even if you disagree with it, you can still smile and give me an amen, and it'll make me feel better. Amen. Thank you for no amens. Number one, why every believer should speak with other tongues. Tongues, according to the Bible, look over at Acts 2. Praying in tongues is the initial sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Number one, tongues is the supernatural evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. If I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I take a step and I speak out something out of my spirit that makes no sense to my own intellect. You know why I like to pray in tongues the most, and I've been studying this lately? You know, you can pray in any other language and have so much faith attached. But when I pray in other tongues, it requires faith for every syllable. Tongues is the highest form of prayer. And I won't get to all of the points, but you know what? I can't pray in tongues and pray a selfish prayer. I can't pray in tongues and actually pray outside the will of God. Now, I can think things, but tongues literally entrusts my mouth, yielding my tongue to the voice of God. It's not about what it sounds like. You know, there's a lot of singers who've made it in the industry, if you will, that don't sound that good. But you put enough amplification and enough tweaking and enough of this and enough of that, and you end up with Britney Spears or something. It's true. It happens. It happened. Anyway, there's a lot of Britney fans in here. I feel like I've offended you, and I do apologize. I'll show you my Britney tattoo later. For I once was a fan. See what I have to do? You make me act this way. Tongues is the initial evidence. You know, I remember years ago when I was pastoring a church in New Hampshire, these young ladies, teenage girls, came up to me. They were, one of them was a first-time visitor and brought a bunch of her friends. And somehow I'd gotten around, and I wasn't shy about being a tongue talker, but they had thought that was interesting, but to the point of mocking it. And they had come specifically to hang out after my service to be cutesy and see if they could manipulate me to feeling less about the things I preached. You know, there's something about praying in other tongues that will give you boldness, like I said a minute ago. You know, if you look back in the chapter before this, when they're all filled, if you read Acts 1, Jesus said this, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost comes up and on you, upon is a compound word, to be a witness of me to the uttermost parts of the earth. Have you ever felt ashamed and it made you act a certain way? I don't mean about your salvation, I just mean in general. You ever felt small? You get around a certain group of people and they walk a little bit taller than you're normally walking. Maybe you came to the party and you know, you ever gone to a party and you were told it was a costume party and it wasn't, and then you're that odd guy or girl that's in like some, no, just me? Anyway, I knew that toga was a wrong, anyway. You know, something about praying in the Spirit corrects all that. You know, you could literally live your whole life bashful and think, that's my personality. That's who I am. But see, there's nothing about Jesus that's bashful. In 1 John 4:17, a scripture directly written to you as the body of Christ, it says you can have boldness in this day of judgment. Why? Because as he, Jesus Christ, is, so are you now in this earth. There's no call or anointing to be shy or bashful. Everything about God, I won't say is loud, but it's bold. Boldness isn't always loud, but it's never ashamed. Maybe you're here today and you say, man, that sums me up. I've been shy my whole life. In fact, I know I've missed out on opportunities because I've been bashful. Well, you can get rid of that bashfulness by being filled with the Holy Spirit and receive power. And all of a sudden, I like what John Lake said when he was alive. Maybe he's still saying, probably is. He used to say, you know, when I pray in tongues, it causes me to stand up tall as a man. When I pray in tongues, it gives me the ability to look myself in the eye. He used to do this thing. And he'd look at himself in a mirror and he'd say, listen to me, John. God lives in that man. God's alive in you. You know, Wigglesworth would wake up in the morning and the first thing he would do is get out of bed and do a little jig. Amen. He'd say, I'm shaking off the flesh. And then begin to pray in other tongues. There's something about praying in the Spirit that literally makes you a different person. I don't even leave the house much these days without praying in the Spirit. I don't drive very far distances in my car without praying in the Spirit. Why? Because it's like a supercharger. John Lake said about the Holy Spirit, he said, it's like hooking up battery cables to my spirit. It's like a hotline of heaven. He'd say, Lord, let the lightnings of heaven strike through my very being, that people would see you and not me. Praying in the Spirit. I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, praying in tongues makes you aware of the indwelling of the Spirit. It's not only the initial sign, but it reminds you of that initial thing. Amen. You still with me? The Holy Ghost is a supernatural being, just like you and I are supernatural beings. And the evidence or proof of being filled with the Holy Ghost has to be supernatural. Think about that. People say, well, I don't have to pray in tongues to prove that I'm filled with the Spirit. Well, you don't have to, but it is the initial sign. Right. You know, today I'm not known as a drummer. In fact, few people know me as a preacher anymore. I'm the harmonica playing traveling man with a beard. It's who I am, I guess. But you know, this is not my first instrument. You know, drums is my first instrument. Yet I've never played the drums in this church. Now I'm going to do a 5-minute solo here in a minute. I don't know why you're laughing. I'm not really. But you know, I'm not known as a drummer. But even though I've spent way more hours of time behind a drum kit, actually had lessons and some training as a younger man. You know, I may never play the drums for the rest of my life. You know, it is true you could be filled with the Holy Ghost and not pray in other tongues, but you'd be missing out on the major benefit of it, because tongues is the thing that hooks me up. It reminds me, are you still here? Number two, we'll get to probably three of these, and then we'll get to three more in the next session. Number two, praying in tongues gives spiritual edification. This is the one I think that is real strong on my heart right now. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. You know, I've been thinking about this. We started that Bible study, and then we started doing these meetings. And I was in the First Generation Summit a year and a half ago, and this wonderful woman, Barbara Arbo, an amazing prophetic gift. She's about my mom's age. In fact, my parents did ministry with the Arbos for many years. Somehow I've been blessed with a relationship with them now, and we're doing meetings multiple times a year. But she was up teaching in a morning session prayer school. Oh, and I just want to put a plug for your prayer meetings here. That's so important. You should come to that. Make an extra half hour on Sunday morning and just make that a part of your deal here, is to come. Because by the Spirit, you literally learn things in a spiritual manner. It's called revelation or a rhema word. And you literally get edified. Now, most people know the word edification as a cliched word, that it means I get built up. That's what Paul said. But you know what the first definition of edify literally means? It means, oh, this is so good, to teach in a way that improves the mind or character, and then to build up or improve. But the number one definition is to teach in a way that improves the mind or character. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies, translate it, teaches in a way that improves their mind or character, builds himself up. But he that prophesies edifies the church. You know, when I'm speaking in other tongues, I'm literally teaching myself something. Now think about the gravity of this. Because some of you educated ones, you owe $100,000+ in student debt. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what? Education in the world system is the highest. That's the highest form of power. But you can go beyond education to a place of revelation where Adam and Eve literally lived in the garden. Adam and Eve, their only education was the actual word of God. And they traded that word, fell into unbelief, which produced a result of sin. And mankind has forever been stuck, mankind outside of Jesus, been stuck at the place of education. Because they fell from revelation, but not you and me. We've been born again and been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, when we have a spiritual relationship with the Holy Ghost, and we use the Holy Spirit for what the Lord told us we could, when I'm praying in other tongues, I literally am not just educating, but I'm literally edifying. I'm getting rhema word from God. You know, you could get one idea that would change your whole life. Barbara Arbo's on that stage in New Hampshire, and she's talking about praying in the Spirit. And on the inside, I'm sitting on the front row and I'm taking notes, but I heard this voice. The Lord said, "Why do you pray in tongues?" And it kept coming up to me to the point where I was like in a different zone. Barbara's still preaching, people are amening, but I'm pondering. Well, I pray in tongues. Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's me. Acts 1:8, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That's me. I had two good reasons. You ever wondered why it's hard to get people born again? Like some people, they just come to church and they tell testimonies. And it's like dozens of people are getting saved around them all the time. They're leading people. Is it because they're special? No, they have a revelation of salvation. You know, the Lord over the last 9 months or to a year has been trying to get a revelation on the inside of me that I'd be more effective with helping people understand why do we pray in the Spirit? You know, the Lord turned me on to this book, and my message is no secret. You can get this whole sermon. There's 10 good points by a guy named Kenneth Hagin in a little dollar book you can get on Amazon or here called Why Tongues. And the Lord led me through this process this year, and all of a sudden, I believe in praying in tongues like never before. You know, that day at the youth group that those girls came up, and they said, "Hey, you're one of those holy rolling tongue talkers, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Hey, see, I knew it. Hey, would you pray in tongues for us?" And I said, "Sure." I said, "You know what? Let's all join in hands." They weren't expecting that. And I said, "Lord, I thank you for right now for utterance to be given. Lord, I thank you for rising up big on the inside of me, giving me power to be a witness. And Lord, as I demonstrate other tongues, Lord, may it be a revelation to these young ladies of something they need, and they'll never be the same without it in Jesus' name." And I just started right. Frembasa gazesti elamansa sode in a manataya. Frembanga desti ezazanza bodaba. And their laughter went real silent real quick. You know, all five of them gave their heart to the Lord. That service. And the one that came to draw me out, that tried to bring the naysayers, she got filled with the Holy Ghost not that many days after. There's something about praying. You know, I could have cowered down and said, "Well, you know, we could do that later. We could just do that later. You know, I don't want, this isn't the proper." You know, there is no real great time to pray in other tongues other than it's always a good time. Amen. "He that speaks in an unknown tongue teaches himself in a way that proves the mind or character, builds himself up." Could you use some building up today? Yes. I encourage you. You know, every day, my wife can tell you, we don't spend too much time in the car together without at least taking a few minutes to pray in the Spirit. You know, there may be conversations you're supposed to be having with your friends and family that you're not having, and you don't know that you're supposed to be having them, but the Holy Spirit on the inside might prompt you with a thought or an idea. And all that comes from a few minutes of praying in other tongues. See what I'm giving you? I'm giving you an arsenal today to go out and share this with other people. It's time that the church, the body of Christ, takes what we have, this gift, and we become skillful with sharing it with other people. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Number three. Oh, and just a testimony of that. It was probably year 2000, 2001. I was in India. There was a young lady on the film there who said she went to India. I was in India. And I may have shared this before, but faith comes by hearing. And I had to leave this little village we were preaching in for a couple of days. We were doing evening crusades, and I'd run out of cash. And the nearest ATM was 2.5 hours to Coimbatore, to this big city of about 18 million people. And we had been there for weeks already. We'd been using the same car, and I mentioned that because there was nothing wrong with that car. It had never once broken down in the weeks that we had been traveling. We literally traveled the country in that. But we get to this town, and that car breaks down. Just shuts off. And I'm sitting in the back. It's got to be 100 degrees out. And I'm just sitting in there. You know, one thing I love about tongues, this is like the fourth or fifth point. I'm just throwing them in there because we're never going to finish. But I'm sitting in there praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, the car breaks down, and it's so hot, I can't sit in the vinyl seats. There's no air conditioning. So I just get out. And I'm standing up against the car, and I was going to offer to help, but then again, I'm not a mechanic, so I'd be a hindrance. And these guys, I says, everything okay? And they had no idea. Well, about that time, a lady comes up off the street, and she just stands right in front of me, Tim, just like this. And she literally bows her head, just like that. And I'm looking around to see, where's the camera? For real. This has never happened to me before or since. And I, just on the inside, I'd been praying in the spirit in the back seat. I can't really converse with these guys. I don't speak Tamil. They speak very little English, so not a lot of conversation going on for 2 hours. They were my ride to get money. And I just put my hand on her. And I said, Holy Spirit, I don't speak her language, but I speak your language. Yes. And Lord, I don't know what's going on or why this is happening, but Father, I just pray in Jesus' name. That you fill her with the oil of your gladness. Lord, heal her body. If it's her children, whatever it is, Lord. Why she's here, I don't know, but I bless her in Jesus' name. When I said amen, she literally bowed, thanked me, and walked on. The car immediately started up. Now, hear me. I wouldn't make this up. This is a real story because it's going to get more extravagant. Car cranks up. A few minutes later, we're driving down the road. I'm journaling about what just happened. This has never happened to me before in my life. I'm like, I still don't know what has happened. 5 to 10 minutes later, we'll say, car breaks down. I'm sitting in the back for a few minutes. I'm like, what's, okay. This is bizarre. I get out of the car. I'm just standing there. I look to see if, you know, there's nothing steaming. They don't know what's going on. They're trying to figure out. A gentleman comes up, probably 50-something years old, stands in front of me. This is in a town of 18 million, Coimbatore, India. Stands up in front of me, walks up. We've never met before. I have no way to communicate with him. No way. I don't speak Tamil. He didn't say anything in English. He literally bowed his head. And he stood there, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, this is crazy. What is going on? Is there like a beam? What's happening? And the guys didn't see it the first time. They didn't say anything about it. Stands in front of me. Their heads are in the deal. It's like this weird scenario. And I just stood there, and I said, well, all I know to do is do what I know to do. And I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, by your Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit can do things that you can't do. And he can make sense of the things that you believe in that you can't make sense of. See, I can't make sense of really the power of God or why it works. All I am is just a jumper cable. Like when you put jumper cables up to a battery and to another battery, you can't make sense of that. Tell me how that works. I don't know. This one is good. This one's not good. Somehow hooking up this cable thing with all the wires that are covered in rubber, and you put that, and then you start this, and I don't know how that thing, the starter, how does that work? And that's hooked up, and maybe you mechanical engineers, you just keep your mouth shut. We don't really need a... But to explain all of that would take a lot of time. You know, God can do things in a moment that would take... You couldn't explain it in centuries. That's why he's God. I literally prayed for that gentleman. Now, would you believe it happened a third time 10 minutes later? Wow. Not trying to do anything. Just sitting in the back of a car, 100 degrees. Just under my breath. That's another thing I love about praying in tongues is I can literally pray. My alarm's going to go off. Look at that. Just an inward witness I had. Nothing, no big deal. See, you're witnessing all this. It's all happening. But that third time, another woman came up, and I just got back in the car, and I said, Lord, what is going on? You know, I never really found out what happened. I didn't. Other than every time I got out of the car, somebody came up to me seeking prayer, I'm guessing. It seemed to be what they were doing, and I prayed for them, and somehow there was just like this victorious moment. They went on about their thing. We moved on. I got my money. You know, it was 2 days later. You know, the Lord will teach you sometimes. You always get it through the Word. You know, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who then went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Yeah. You know, the infilling of the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues is it reminds us that everywhere I go, He goes. And everywhere He goes, miracle working power goes. Everywhere I go, the anointing. Remember Luke 4:18, Jesus is in the synagogue. I love this thing that they were the one that picked the book. Notice He didn't pick the book, but they brought Him the book of Isaiah. And He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, set at liberty to them that are bruised by preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. And then He closes the book and He said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears.
Amen.
You know, the Holy Spirit will lead you to do things that seem almost unacceptable. You know, everyone in his hometown at the synagogue that day, the moment it got spiritual, they got offended and they brought Him down to an education level. They were caught up for a brief moment in revelation. When you get caught up in a brief moment of revelation, that means anything can happen in that moment. But the Bible says they reasoned in themselves and they started grumbling, saying, isn't this Jesus, Mary's son, Joseph's boy? And all of a sudden, the powerful presence just began to wane. You know, you and I have it at a greater level than the disciples did when they were walking with Jesus. We literally have that supercharger on the inside.
Right.
And anytime I want to, I can turn it on. I can just begin to say, Lord, I don't even know. That's another point we didn't get to. The Holy Spirit, Paul said, the Holy Spirit knows what to pray when you don't know what to pray. When you don't know how to pray, you can pray in other tongues. And all of a sudden, He'll use your words to solve problems even in foreign nations.
Amen.
This is an endless gift. It's a wonderful thing. And maybe I'm only here to remind you, maybe everyone in the room is filled with the Spirit, but maybe I'm just here to remind you, hey, do it every day. Speak in other tongues every day. And you'll look back. You'll look back just a month later and go, wow, I'm bolder than I used to be. And then 6 months later, you'll see, oh man, look what the Lord's doing through me. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Look at what you're doing. Look at these things that are happening. Only you could do it. Isn't it time that we had a testimony that was real and that was spiritual and it fully gave praise and honor to a supernatural God? Isn't it time that we had something unexplainable to the world? And all we can say is, it truly is the powerful presence of Jesus. I didn't grow up bold like this. In fact, I spent all my teenage years goofing around. Went all through high school goofing around. It was my senior year that I committed my life, not to Jesus, but literally to be used by the Holy Spirit. And it took me from a place of being bashful and concerned about what men and women around me thought to the place where I care more about what the Lord thinks. And Lord, you can have me this senior year. And whatever happens after this summer, Lord, you can have me. And I haven't done everything right along the way, but I'll tell you this, I never stopped praying in the Spirit. And I believe this with all my heart. Through praying in other tongues, that miracle working power. And this is a prayer in my life I even had here today. And it's here. Lord, let the tangible, touchable presence. You got two more minutes? Don't tell Pastor Henry I'm taking two extra. I'll give them back in the next service, maybe, if you're good. You know, today, I'm a vinyl collector. I'm shutting my Bible to let you know I'm serious about closing. I collect records, have for years. And these days, I buy brand new music on records, because you can. I was talking to a record salesman at a store, actually here in California. And I said, I've been hearing these statistics that records are bigger now than they ever were. And he said, they're three times as big. We sell three times the amount of records that I ever sold in the 70s. And I said, how do you explain that? That's interesting to me. And he said, well, imagine you're 15 years old. And you've never experienced real music. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, an MP3 is sound, but it's not real music. Like, you can't touch it. He said, it's not like an A-track or a tape or a vinyl. You know, a vinyl I can touch. I can feel the grooves, the thing that actually makes the sound. I look at the pictures. It's an experience. And on the inside, within 3 days, I had a revelation. That's what it's like growing up in a church that doesn't teach on the gifts of the Spirit or the move of the Holy Ghost or never mentions praying in other tongues. You can have an experience with God to a limited degree, but it's not a touchable God, a tangible God. And he said vinyl's on the rise because kids today have never touched music. And I thought, you know, many kids today have never touched God. You know, the Holy Spirit's indwelling will literally turn you into the Jesus right here, right now. I've always said this, you're the only Jesus that many people will ever see.
That's good.
And if his presence in you is not touchable or tangible, it's the comparison between an MP3 and a vinyl. Yeah. And I'm not saying that a vinyl's better, but I'm saying this, the experience of it is unforgettable.
That's right?
When I'm listening to Jimi Hendrix for the first time on a vinyl, it's different because I can see what he looks like. I can get a glimpse. I can feel the music, if you will. Things that an MP3 could never do for me. And I think God wants the church world to go from MP3, not backwards, but forward to an experience with him that is everlasting. That even if I don't give my life to him today, I leave with something that's in my mind. It's been on my hands. There's something about the promised church that has always had this thing. That when you come in here, and it's not just friendliness, it's not just games, it's not just lights. You literally have the tangible presence of Jesus here. And it's not just for here. It's so that we take it out of here.
Yes.
Amen. I want to invite you to stand up with me. I know... I didn't get to the whole thing today, but I got to the right thing. You know, you can sense when something's bearing witness in your heart. Hallelujah. Why don't you close your eyes with me? I just want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for each and every person here today. Lord, thank you for the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the infilling, the indwelling presence. Lord, I thank you that the power that's released when we pray in the Spirit, It's eternal. It's everything. Lord, I pray that we be more mindful as we go here today. Be more mindful that I have faith. I have ability. I have tangible God presence. I have the anointing. I have no reason to worry or fear. My shame, my concerns are all swallowed up the moment I step out in faith and begin to speak. Begin to speak. Oh, sempre basa che le dien zambande dea, bembra asasole tenzi ge de benzi isi, nengibre esendia dama. And you will speak. You will speak. You will speak. You will speak in other tongues. And the Spirit Himself will give you utterance. And you'll begin to say out what God is saying. And many people will be changed. And you'll have utterance to say things into other people's lives, words of knowledge. You'll begin to not only dabble in the gifts of the Spirit, but be given to them. So pray in other tongues. Take time every day. Pray in the Spirit. Stir up the gift. Stir yourself up on your most holy faith, speaking in other tongues. Lord, I'll do it. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to invite you with every head bowed and every eye closed.